In the forest of material existence, the uncontrolled senses are like plunderers. The conditioned soul may earn some money for the advancement of Krishna consciousness, but unfortunately the uncontrolled senses plunder his money through sense gratification. The senses are plunderers because they make one spread his money, spend his money unnecessarily for seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, hearing, desiring, and willing. In this way, the conditioned soul is obliged to gratify his senses, and thus all his money is spent. This money is actually acquired for the execution of religious principles, but it is taken away by the plundering senses. Om Agyantimidandasya Jnananjana chalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai sri guruve namaha sri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Patakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tham Sajivam Shadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi He Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare
Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama Today we are reading the second verse of the 14th chapter of the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Herein, Srila Shukadeva Goswami is explaining the plight of everyone who is entangled within this material existence.
В сетях материального мира.
He compares this state of consciousness as being in a deep, dark forest where there is danger at every step. And people who are on the material concept of life, they spend the majority of their existence working so hard for some money. This is something that's common in all different cultures and societies throughout the world. Whether we are in India or America or Russia or Africa, people are just working so hard, practically foaming at their mouths to somehow or other get money. Prahlad Maharaj said that for a materialistic person, money is like honey. Because money gives a false sense of security and it provides facilities for sense gratification. If someone is rich, actually we'll start with people who are poor. They're thinking, I'll be happy if I'm rich. And they work so hard. Even in India, some people, they're beggars, but they work 12 hours a day just at the cars begging. But then when people become rich, by Maya's arrangement, they buy so many articles. And the more you have, the more you need to maintain what you have. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that material desire or lust burns like fire. No matter how much fuel you give it, it just gets hotter and more devouring. One thinks, I need more money. And if one is a millionaire, one thinks, I have to become a billionaire. And if one's a billionaire, then one cannot tolerate if anyone is more wealthy than himself. And then the person steps on a thorn, and he's totally miserable, and nothing can save him from misery, all his billions of dollars. When I was a little boy, I read a newspaper about one of the wealthiest men in the world. His name was Mr. Rockefeller. Have any of you heard of Mr. Rockefeller? He's simply famous because he has so much money. Anyway, he had a son who was going to college. He was studying anthropology. And working on his thesis, he went on a project. It was in New Guinea. Do you remember this story? Where there were man-eating cannibals.
So this is
quite a fascinating subject matter. He wanted to write a book on these people and get his PhD. But after doing interviews and taking photos and all sorts of research, he was on a little boat going back to his ship. His boat was sinking, so he swam back to the island. Hare Krishna. So nobody could find him anywhere. So they sent his assistants and his helpers and police and everything all over the island looking for him. So they asked some of the cannibals, have you seen this person? They said, we have not seen him. So he was eaten by the object of his studies. When this message came to his father that his son was the dinner for these man-eating people, he was devastated. He told the newspaper interviewer that all my hundreds and millions of dollars, all my power and influence over governments and societies and banks and cultures, with all my fame throughout the world, even though I'm in such good health because I'm always taking fitness, I'll never find another moment of happiness in my entire life because my son has been killed. So I was just living in a little house with just simple people. My father was struggling. In fact, just a year before, he went bankrupt and lost everything. We were happy because nobody in our family got eaten. So no matter how much you try to make arrangements for happiness in this world, we have no control over our circumstances. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. That there's danger at every step. So throughout the world, people have this in common. They are struggling so hard for money. But then their senses are like plunderers and just steal it all away. The senses can never be satisfied because the soul is searching for the unlimited happiness of reuniting with Krishna and serving him with love. The soul is searching for the unlimited beauty and love of Krishna through the senses. But all the objects of the senses are inevitably going to disappoint us and cause us suffering because they're limited and temporary. Dukalaya mashashvatam, that this material world is a place of suffering because no one can be satisfied because we want Krishna. Anandamayo vyashat, the soul is seeking that pleasure of Krishna. So Krishna consciousness means to utilize our senses in the service of Krishna. In this beautiful purport, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada is explaining that the Varnashram system has been created by the Lord so that according to our particular occupational propensities, we can utilize our mind, our senses, our life for purifying ourselves through serving Krishna. Rishikena Rishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. The same senses that are causing us bondage and entanglement cause us liberation if we just use them for Krishna. In some places in Moscow, some people are going to discotheques and nightclubs to dance. Their dancing and singing is simply covering their hearts with passion and ignorance and creating so much entanglement and karmic bondage. But this morning, during Srila Prabhupada's Guru Puja, we saw Lakshmi Narasingha Prabhu, His Holiness, Shriman Bhanu Maharaj, Mahamantra Prabhu, and so many other devotees dancing ecstatically. You will not find such genuine, loving, smiling faces in discotheques or nightclubs. Everybody's eyes are looking for something to be agitated by. But we're looking at Krishna dancing, dancing, dancing for hours and hours. I was told at the festival that was in the other part of Russia, 2 days back, there was 5-hour kirtan. Yeah. Nobody wanted to stop. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have kirtan with his devotees in Srivas Thakur's house at night, there was just so much happiness, nobody ever wanted to stop. They would dance and chant in Sankirtan throughout the day. Then one day the Lord gave a very surprising, inconceivable request to the devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, throughout the day we are purifying our hearts and glorifying Krishna through Harinam Kirtan. But night we are sleeping. Such a waste of time. We only have so many breaths, so many heartbeats, so many seconds to live within this human life. Every moment of human existence is more valuable than all the wealth in the world. Because you cannot purchase 1 second that is lost, no matter how much wealth you may have. So the Lord said, forget all this sleeping. We will just go on with our kirtan throughout the day and throughout the night. Now what if Vaidyanath Prabhu gave you all this order? Hare Krishna. But when Mahaprabhu gave this order, all the devotees went, Harivo! And for one full year they were chanting all night, every night. And it is explained that they would dread the rising of the sun, because it would be the end of that kirtan. They would pray to Vishnu, keep the sun from rising. Do not want this experience to ever end. But then, inevitably, the sun began to rise in the eastern horizon. And the devotees were looking at the sun so angry that it appeared that they were going to burn the sun to ashes by their glance. Hare Krishna. That's how much they were enjoying this chanting and dancing. We don't hear about these types of ecstasies in rock festivals or nightclubs or discotheques. Hmm. People have to take all kinds of intoxications, drugs and alcohol and everything else just to try to get in some mood to enjoy. But today we saw how devotees are intoxicated simply by tasting the nectar of the holy name and the association of devotees. This is bhakti, to utilize our senses in the service of the Lord. As His Holiness Sri Dayananda Maharaj was saying, the more we try to take in this world, the more we're entangled with attachments and miseries. The more we try to give, the more we're liberated. And when we give to Krishna, then we receive His mercy. And He preserves what we have and carries what we lack. And in His mercy, there is all fulfillments of the heart's desires. So this principle is very important to understand philosophically. Thani sarvani samyamya yukta asitamatpara vasehi asyendriyani tasya pragya pratishtata. One must restrain the senses and fix one's consciousness on Krishna. But the Lord sends His own dear devotees to teach us by their example how it is possible. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. We can learn how to follow the scriptures properly by following in the footsteps of the great devotees of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya said that the secret of the essence of the scriptures will not be found by studying all of them, birth after birth after birth. But we can understand the essence of the scripture by watching the behavior and observing the characteristics of a pure devotee. Today we are celebrating a very auspicious day. It is the first day of Kartik. Kartik is the month of Srimati Radharani. She has blessed this month with her own presence. And by performing devotional service sincerely in this month, we receive her special blessing. Tonight we are celebrating the Saradiya Rasa Yatra, the night when Krishna began His most glorious of all pastimes, the Ras Lila. Today is the full moon night of the month of Kartik. It is also the month of Damodar, where Lord Sri Krishna, in His very beautiful, charming baby form, stole the butter of Yashoda and showed the world how He is bound by the love of His devotee. This morning, we would like to briefly speak on the subject of another item that is celebrated on this holy day, because it very much pertains to this verse that we are reading today. Today is the disappearance day of Murari Gupta, one of the intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you bless me with your kind permission, I will try to speak something. Sorry?
Your order?
Yes.
Thank you.
Murari Gupta exemplified pure unalloyed devotional service. In fact, he was the incarnation of Hanuman, that great servitor of Lord Sri Ramchandra, who could lift and fly with mountains, who could jump over oceans, who could burn down the entire city of Sri Lanka, who could fight and defeat the entire Rakshasa armies of Ravana, simply out of his enthusiasm to serve Lord Ram's order. Murari Gupta was a grihastha, and he had a profession of a medical doctor. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had many disciples who were sannyasis and brahmacharis, but he considered his grihasthas, who were 100% surrendered to the service of the Lord in their ashram, to be equal. Lord Chaitanya once said that anyone who considers Murari Gupta to be an ordinary householder performing the profession of a medical doctor is condemned to suffer in hell. Because although he appears to ordinary people to just be a family man doing his job, he's always absorbed in Krishna. And whatever he does is with pure unalloyed devotion to Krishna. Therefore, anyone who remembers him will get Krishna consciousness. When he treats his patients medically for their diseases, he gives them Krishna bhakti, and they all attain love of Krishna. In fact, in Bombay, we have maybe 30 devotees who are specialist doctors. And they were thinking that Murari Gupta was a doctor, and Lord Chaitanya was very happy with him because he was giving everyone Krishna consciousness. And when people's bodies are diseased, they're very submissive to their doctors. So they give them the medicine, and then they try to follow in the footsteps of Murari Gupta. Okay. They tell them that actually, medicine works on some people and not on others, all depending on the mercy of God. So if you want God's mercy, then before you take each medicine, you should very sincerely cry out, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So they're even having Muslims and Christians and Jews and everyone chanting Hare Krishna when they're taking their medicine. So then they decided, this is very nice. So many people are becoming Krishna conscious. Why don't we just work together and have a hospital? So they started the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. When you walk in the lobby, Srila Prabhupada is sitting on Vyasasan. Every single room, operating room, hallway, lobby, is Prabhupada's voice singing Maha Mantra and bhajans through speakers. And all the patients only get Krishna Prasad offered to the deities and cooked by devotees. And every bedside is Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. People go into surgery, right over the head of every surgery bed is Lord Nrsingha ripping apart her Hiranyakashipu. They tell the patients, you should offer your obeisances to Lord Nrsingadev before we put anesthesia in you, because he is the original surgeon. And there's also a spiritual care unit of devotees who just go and give everyone, they just preach to everyone and start giving them japa malas because they have nothing to do. They're just laying. dozens of people are surrendering their lives to Krishna just because they became sick and they had a good doctor. And the doctors are making their money to support their husbands, their wives, their children, but they're dedicating everything, really, to just preaching Krishna consciousness through their work. This was inspired by Lord Chaitanya's appreciation of Murari Gupta. When Murari Gupta was younger, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing his Leela of Nimai Pandit. He was hiding the reality of his opulence. He would not say anything about preaching Krishna consciousness. He was just living the life like a little scholar. So the devotees could not recognize him, that he was their worshipable Lord. In fact, they used to pray day and night that, my dear Lord Krishna, make Nimai Pandit a devotee, because if he becomes a devotee, he can make the whole world chant the holy names. So Murari Gupta He was a great scholar. And one time he was walking with some students of his, and he was discussing the principles of yoga. And he was speaking Astanga yogic principles, not bhakti yoga. Although he's a devotee. So little Nimai Pandit did not like this. So he started imitating everything Murari Gupta was saying in a very funny voice. You know how children do this sometimes? It's very irritating to the mind. Say, we will go home. They go, we will go home. Why don't you be quiet? Why don't you be quiet? And you raise your arm, and they raise their arm. Okay. So he was imitating Murari Gupta in front of everybody. Everything Murari Gupta said, he was saying the same thing, very sarcastically, because he was glorifying the principles of karma and jnana and yoga. So Murari Gupta said, get out of here. What are you doing? The Lord said, today I will teach you a good lesson. So Murari Gupta just went home. And later on, he was given his prasad, nice rice and sabjis. And he sat down to eat it. And little Nimai was dressed up, very fanciful disguise. Just when Murari Gupta just was about to eat his prasad, little Nimai ran into the room and passed urine all over his prasad. Murari Gupta went, hi, what have you done? The Lord ran away. But first he said, you see, he actually, in so many fanciful words, he told him that you are mixing jnana and karma and other material processes of religion with bhakti. This is like putting urine in prasad. Anya bilashita sunyam jnana karmanya navritam anukulyena krishna nushilanam bhaktarutama. That pure devotional service is unmixed with any other approach of religiosity. Pure devotional service is simply for the pleasure of Krishna. So sometimes Nimai would challenge Murari Gupta to debate on grammatical subjects. Yeah. And Murari Gupta was a devotee. He just wanted to talk about Krishna. The devotees would hide from Nimai Pandit because he would grab them and force them to speak on all kinds of grammatical debates on mundane subjects. He would defeat them. So one day he challenged. He said, you just answer my questions. So he asked questions. And Murari Gupta answered according to Shastra. Yeah. Lord Chaitanya defeated what he said. And then a big debate started happening. They were very both expert. Neither could defeat the other. Murari Gupta said, why are you wasting your time with all these mundane debates? No one can defeat you. Then the Lord touched Murari Gupta with his hand. And when he touched him, Murari Gupta's whole body began to tremble in ecstasy, thrilled with love for Krishna. Then he bowed down and touched the lotus feet of Nimai Pandit and said, today I will be your student. I surrender to you. So soon after this wonderful lila, Lord Chaitanya went to Gaya, took initiation from Ishwarapuri, and then came back as the foremost proponent of Harinam Sankirtan. It was then that he revealed his mission as the Yuga Dharma establishing, the Yuga Avatar establishing the Yuga Dharma. The devotees were in bliss that Nimai has become a Vaishnava. Such a Vaishnava the world has never seen. One day the Lord came to Murari Gupta's house and he became ecstatic. He had just heard the glories of the Vishnu Sahasranam and he heard the name of Lord Varahadev. So he called out, Murari, Murari, look at me! Murari Gupta was sitting in his house. He looked up and the Lord manifested the form of Varahadev, incarnation. They were in Murari Gupta's temple. The Lord said, give me the earth to lift. So the Murari Gupta gave him a little vessel of water. And the Lord held it on his tusks as if he was holding up the earth. Murari Gupta was in ecstasy. No one had ever seen this darshan before. Then the Lord said, glorify me with prayers. Murari Gupta said, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are all merciful. I have no words to glorify you. I'm just a fallen, insignificant, common man. The Lord insisted, offer me prayers. He offered some beautiful prayers glorifying the beautiful form of the Lord, which is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And then the Lord, in his form of Varahadev, spoke to Murari Gupta. He said, what you say is true. My form is eternal. It is the supreme reality. Each one of my limbs possesses all the Vedic literatures. the conclusion and the essence and the siddhanta, or the end of all knowledge, is to know me and to love me in my transcendental form. And those who deny this form, those who say that this form is an illusion, those who say that something impersonal is beyond my transcendental form, they are in illusion and they are condemned. They will not experience the ecstasy of love. And there is a sannyasi named Prakashananda. And with his philosophy, he's trying to cut my limbs off by making me without form, without attributes. In response, I have placed leprosy in his body, but he does not know it. But one who worships and praises my eternal form as a personality will achieve my eternal abode. Then Varahadeva again became Lord Chaitanya, and he went home. Another time, Murari Gupta came to Lord Chaitanya's house, and Lord Chaitanya was sitting with Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So Murari Gupta first offered obeisances to Lord Chaitanya, then Lord Nityananda. Lord Chaitanya was upset with this. He said, "What are you doing? Have you no proper etiquette?" Murari Gupta, he said, "I'm just following what my heart tells me to do." He said, "What did I do wrong?" He said, "I will reveal this to you tonight." So Murari Gupta went home, and he went to sleep, and he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He was dressed in the robes of Lord Balaram. He had a beautiful white complexion, large lotus eyes, the very embodiment of spiritual strength. He was decorated with forest flowers. He held a plow over his shoulder. Ananta Shesha was like an umbrella over his head. When Murari Gupta saw Lord Nityananda walking in the mood of Balaram, he became ecstatic. And then in this dream, Lord Chaitanya was following behind him. And he smiled at Murari Gupta. And he said, "You see, he is my older brother." So the next day, Murari Gupta went to Lord Chaitanya's house. Lord Chaitanya was sitting with Lord Nityananda. So Murari Gupta offered his obeisances first to Nityananda Prabhu, then to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, "Why did you do that?" Murari Gupta said, "My lord, I am just an instrument, a puppet. You are making me do everything." Then Lord Chaitanya he was chewing on some spices with his mouth. He took the spices out of his mouth and gave them and put them in the hand of Murari Gupta. He immediately ate the spices. Then Lord Chaitanya said, "My saliva is in your hand. Go wash your hands." Murari Gupta wiped his hands on top of his own head. The lord said, "Why did you do that? Have you no culture? You're supposed to be a Brahmin." Well, Murari Gupta was completely ecstatic chewing the spices that came from Lord Chaitanya's mouth. So he was just intoxicated and he went home. And Murari Gupta was a grihasta. His wife was equal to him in all respects of devotion. So she had nice prasad prepared for him. She brought him rice with ghee. And Murari Gupta just soaked the rice with ghee. And he was so ecstatic. He was intoxicated by what he had just been through with Lord Chaitanya the night before and that day. He was actually mad with love for the Lord. So he picked up the rice, put a lot of ghee on it. Then he held the rice out to Krishna in the air. And he said, "Eat, eat!" Then he threw the rice on the floor. Then he picked up more rice, soaked it with ghee. And held it out in the air and said, "Eat, eat!" Threw it on the floor. And he was spreading the rice all over the floor. Then he told his wife, "Get me more rice." She was watching what her husband was doing. She brought more rice, soaked it with ghee. Eat, eat! And spread it all over the floor. Eat, eat! Threw it on the floor. Eat, eat! Threw more on the floor.
That doesn't take quite
time. Okay. So his wife, knowing him to be a great devotee, she couldn't understand, but she understood at least that this is some sort of transcendental pastime. Good wife was just smiling and bringing him more and more rice. The next morning,
на следующее утро,
Lord Chaitanya, first thing in the morning, early, Murari Gupta let him in his house. Lord Chaitanya said, "You are my physician. I need some medicine." Murari Gupta was a very good physician. He said, "Oh, you need some medicine for indigestion?" The Lord screamed out, "How did you know I have indigestion?" He said, "What is the cause of your indigestion?" "You know the cause of my indigestion. Yesterday you were offering me that rice soaked with ghee and making me eat it off the floor. Because of your pure devotion, I have to accept whatever you offer. But I know the cure for indigestion. I know the cure to all my diseases.
Yes.
To drink the water from your drinking cup." Then Lord Chaitanya picked up the drinking cup that Murari Gupta was already drinking from. Murari Gupta said, "My Lord, no, no, you cannot drink from my cup. This is very bad, please." Lord Chaitanya drank that water from his devotee's cup. He was weeping and trembling in ecstasy to taste the water from his devotee. He said, "This medicine could cure the disease of material illusion. To drink the water remnants of a pure devotee of the Lord can bring about love for Krishna." Actually, this whole material world is like one big case of indigestion. But taking the remnants of a Vaishnava can cure us of all disease. This is how the Lord glorified his devotee. Although he was a doctor with a profession and a wife and a family, the Lord wanted to show the world the power of bhakti. How he is conquered by the love of his devotee. How he's begging for the remnants of his pure devotee. Another day, Murari Gupta was meditating on Krishna's lila, and he became very sad. He was thinking that my Lord, he's cruel. When he was in his incarnation of Lord Ram, he banished Sita. And when he was Krishna, he caused a fratricidal war and caused the whole Yadu dynasty to kill each other. And then he disappeared, as did Ram. I do not want to see these closing pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. I want to die before the Lord leaves this world. I don't want to see the kind of pastimes he performs when he leaves. So he had a very, very sharp knife that's used for cutting conch shells. And he was thinking that tonight, without telling anyone, I'm going to use this knife to take my life. Because better that than have to bear the separation of the Lord when he leaves this world. So he secretly hid the knife in his house. That day, Lord Chaitanya came to Murari Gupta's house. Murari Gupta offered his dandavat obeisances to Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya. He said, "I am your servant, my Lord. Give me any order, I will obey. How can I serve you?" The Lord said to Murari, "Come close." And he whispered in his ear. He said, "Give me the knife." Murari Gupta said, "Knife? What knife? There's no knife." "I want that knife that you want to use to kill yourself." Murari Gupta was very angry. He said, who is spreading these rumors? This is all lies. There's no knife." Lord Chaitanya knows everything. He walked directly in the house. He went right to the knife, brought it outside and showed it to Murari Gupta. He said, "Murari, you are more dear to me than my own life. Why do you want to torture me by taking your life? Your life belongs to me. I'm only living in this world to associate with devotee like you. Please promise me this thought will never come in your mind again. Your name is Murari Gupta. Gupta means secret. Your name is Murari Gupta because Krishna is always hiding in your heart." During the Mahaprakash Lila, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was fulfilling the desires of all of his devotees. He was showing just the form that each of his devotees worshipped as their life and soul. So he called Murari Gupta forward. Murari Gupta came before the Lord. All of a sudden he saw Lord Chaitanya turn into Lord Ram. He had a beautiful complexion like that of durva grass. He was standing in that stately transcendental form, holding a bow in one hand, and he had a quiver of arrows on his back. It was the embodiment of transcendental beauty. To one side of him was Lakshman. On the other side was Sita Devi. Murari Gupta was in so much ecstasy seeing this form of the Lord before him. He fell unconscious. Then he got up, and he looked at himself. he looked down and he saw he had a tail. And he looked at his body and he was in the form of Hanuman. And the Lord said, "Monkey, monkey!" He said, "Get up! Sita has been taken by Ravana. Lakshman has been injured. We need medicine for him. Bring that mountain." And Hanuman was, Murari Gupta was just in the mood of Hanuman, ready to serve. The Lord said, "Look at Sita, your worshipable goddess. Look at the lotus feet of her. Lotus feet are your life and soul. And here is Lakshman, the original guru of all, who you dedicated your life to perform the greatest miracles to serve." Murari Gupta was again fainted in ecstasy. The Lord said, "Get up, Murari. Today I will fulfill any desire you have. Ask for a boon.
Проси у меня чего хочешь.
Any boon." Murari Gupta said, "My Lord, I am completely satisfied just seeing you and serving your devotees. I have no desires." He said, "No, ask for any boon." Murari Gupta said, "I am the most fallen. I am proud and insignificant. I have no qualifications. I'm like an insect. But if you must give me a boon, then please give me the benediction that in every birth that I take, I will always be the servant of the servant of your servants. That is the only desire I have." Murari Gupta wanted to show the world that there is no greater treasure or fortune than to just be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. He could have asked for any amount of riches. He could have asked for mystic siddhis or liberation from all material bondage. He could have asked for anything. But a devotee understands what is really valuable. He asks to always be in the association of the Lord's devotees. At every birth, let me be in the association of your devotees. Even as an insect, but let me be in the house of your devotee. Let me always be the servant of the servant of their servants. So this is the ultimate aspiration, because it is what most pleases Krishna. And it is this type of humility that is the path of perfection. So here in this wonderful temple of Moscow, there's such nice association of devotees. You have the holy name. You have association. In that association, we could read Srimad Bhagavatam and discuss it. Chant and dance before the deities of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. We can honor their prasad together. And we can, there's so many opportunities at every moment to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Everything is here. If we can just learn to appreciate the good fortune that we've been given, if we can just be grateful to Krishna for the great benediction he's given us. We may have families and jobs that we have to perform. That's all right. But like Murari Gupta, he performed his occupation very responsibly, and he maintained his family with great love and affection. But he did it all to facilitate what he understood was the greatest wealth, to associate with the Lord's devotees in the mood of the servant of the servant of the servant. Because Murari Gupta asked for that boon, Lord Chaitanya and all the devotees were ecstatic and cried out, "Hari Bol!" And he gave him that benediction. Please hear the benediction Lord Chaitanya gave Murari Gupta. He said, "In every birth, you will be most dear to the devotees. You will always be absorbed in their service, and you will always taste the nectar of the holy name." That is the ultimate boon. That propensity, that attitude is real wealth. That aspiration is the only thing that will satisfy the heart and the soul. And we should not be distracted by any other false promise of Maya. Murari Gupta taught us how to be responsible within this society, but keep their mind fixed in all humility. So what did Srila Prabhupada give us is such immensely merciful. He has written in his books that he established these temples just to give people of the world the opportunity to associate with devotees. Because proper association with devotees centered around hearing, chanting, and serving is the bliss of the soul. It purifies the heart. It's the perfection of life. Why should we complain? Why should there be politics? Why should there be envy or competition? Why should we be trying to get something from someone? Our happiness is when we try to give our hearts to the Vaishnavas by serving them and hearing and chanting in their presence. This gift Prabhupada has mercifully showered upon us freely. It doesn't cost anything to come here and chant and dance and serve Vaishnavas. And to the degree we have this simple, sublime understanding of what Krishna consciousness is, to that degree we will be happy and we will love Krishna. But if we have other motives, those motives will plunder the opportunity that we have for Krishna prema. If we learn to love devotees, Krishna will learn to love us. That is the lesson to be learned from the life of Murari Gupta. When Lord Chaitanya went to Puri, Murari Gupta came to meet him with the other devotees from Bengal. Lord Chaitanya met him. He was literally rubbing his body and crying on Murari Gupta. He loved him so dearly. Murari Gupta felt himself so contaminated, actually, that the Lord asked, "Where is Murari?" And Murari Gupta actually saw the Lord embracing everybody and giving them so much affection and praising them. He didn't feel qualified, so he was hiding. "Where is Murari?" "He's hiding there." The Lord got off from his seat and personally picked Murari Gupta up and brought him back and started embracing him and affectionately crying upon him. Murari Gupta said, "I'm so contaminated, my Lord. I'm so fallen. Please don't touch me." Lord Chaitanya, with his beautiful golden limbs, was embracing the Lord Murari, saying, "I am touching you for my purification. Whoever sees or touches a Vaishnava like you will get Krishna." So that is how the Lord sees one whose only benediction and whose only aspiration in life is to associate with devotees and be the servant of the servant of the servant. Yeah. It is this gift that Srila Prabhupada has given us. Let us sincerely accept that gift. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I think it's late. Please forgive me for taking so much of your time, especially His Holiness Bhanu Maharaj. He has exhibited in Lakshmi Narsingha Prabhu. They have exhibited Taror Api Sahishnana. They are tolerant like trees sitting here through this entire class. So I offer my respectful obeisances at their lotus. What to speak of Vaidyanath Prabhu? Translating my classes is a terrible austerity. Because I do not even speak proper English. How to translate it? I don't know how he does it. But I'm very grateful to you. And I want to thank all of you very, very much. You are a great inspiration to all of us. This is very rare. Practically no temples in the world, whether they're ISKCON or Gaudiya Mats or any other sampradaya, very rarely do we find hundreds of devotees sitting for hours in a class. You are very fortunate to have each other, and I am very fortunate to be given the opportunity to try to serve you. That is Prabhupada's causeless mercy upon me. You give me the chance to serve such wonderful, illustrious